Free Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guest today on Keeping the Faith is Megan Johnson Smith. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you are the director of Amasong, A-M-A-S-O-N-G.
That's right.
And the group has been known for how many years now?
We are almost 20 years of singing.
Almost 20. And you've been known as Champaign Urbana's premier lesbian feminist choir.
Exactly.
And you've been the director how long?
I've been the director for, I think this is my fourth year now?
Fourth
season, yeah, since 2006.
And you sing all manner of things, including spiritual texts, which is one of the reasons I'm happy to have you as a guest on this show that deals with issues like that. But tell us a little bit about yourself before we hear some music and talk about your upcoming concert. Although, tell us quickly, when is the next concert?
Well, our big winter concert extravaganza is the first weekend of December. That's December 5th at 8 p.m. and December 6th at 4:30. Those are both at McKinley Presbyterian Church.
And that's on the corner, if I remember right, of 5th and Daniel,
5th
and John.
5th and John is where the church is.
I was pastor there for a while, so I should remember. And where did you come from, Megan, before you started this work as directing the choir?
I lived in Ithaca, New York, and I was attending Ithaca College as a graduate student in voice performance. And when I moved here with my husband, Ben, who is a student at the university, that's how we got here, like
What's
many
he studying?
People. Music composition as well.
So you're both in the same field.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a composer and a singer and a director. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like to dabble in writing music. I have this fabulous chorus who will sing anything I put in front of them. And so it's fun to write things for Amasong to sing.
And you and Ben, it's no secret, I guess, are expecting, is this your first child?
Yeah, this is our first.
And it'll just be one. You know that already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when is this baby due?
In December. So we're hoping that the baby has good timing and will come after the concert.
Okay.
But I do have good backup. No worries. The concert will go on.
So you have other conductors ready to go.
Yeah, there are some really excellent music professionals within Amasong and within our sort of extended family who are backing me up, who they're just ready to go at a drop of the hat.
Now, tell us a little bit of what people will hear if they come to that concert in December.
Our concert theme is elements, and not the periodic table of the elements, but elements as in earth, air, fire, and water. And so I've organized the program around music dealing with those elements from all over the world, and also music that sort of explores those things that are beyond physical elements. So in a lot of, well, I guess, ancient Western philosophy, Greece and surrounding areas, as well as Eastern thinkers in China, India, Japan, they had the system of five elements. And so we're looking at earth, air, fire, water, and ether.
So in Hindu religion, there's a great emphasis on that. And there was a new Hindu temple just dedicated here in Champaign just a couple weeks ago.
Wonderful.
The groundbreaking was held, and fire played an important part of that, as did water. And, of course, air. It was outside, and then there was a tent with wind blowing through as well.
Wonderful.
And they dug a hole in the earth, and some of the people who had donated a significant amount of money to help build this temple, they had names I suppose they called them foundation stones, but they may have been ceramic that were buried in the earth. It was a very moving ceremony. How many singers do you have?
We have just over 50. I think we have 52 singers right now.
All women?
All women.
Okay. And Let's see. Why don't we hear a piece that you wrote that's on one of your CDs? Now, Emma Song has, what, four CDs?
We have four CDs now, and this is from Bridges of Song, which we released in, well, just about a year ago in 2008. And this is I Thank You, God, for Most This Amazing Day.
From E.E. Cummings'
poem. Yes, the E.E. Cummings poem. And I wrote this one sort of, well, I guess on the theme of elements, reflecting on some of the gorgeous days that I experienced in the Finger Lakes up in upstate New York, where the air would just seem to sparkle and the trees seemed more green than it was possible to be.
So let's hear a recording by the Lesbian Feminist Choir, Emma Song, from their most recent recording, composed and directed by Megan Johnson Smith. I thank you, God, for this, is it most amazing day?
For most this amazing day.
I heard E. Cummings read his work here at the University of Illinois in the auditorium, now called Follinger Auditorium, when I was in high school.
Wonderful.
And it was quite an experience.
I bet.
Sitting all alone down on that big stage at a table, looking up into the balcony where I was sitting, at least it seemed like he was looking at me sometimes, and it was great to hear him read. How did you pick this particular text to set to music?
I've always loved Cummings' poems, just the way that he uses sort of unconventional syntax and unconventional punctuation to get deeper than the words might mean otherwise. And this is just one of my favorite poems of Cummings.
My daughter selected one of his poems to be read at her wedding.
We had a couple too. Yeah,
you did too.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was a cappella without accompaniment.
Right.
How did you make that choice?
Emma Song sings primarily a cappella music. When I was hired as director, someone made the comment that Emma Song likes to sort of celebrate and explore and feature just the sound of women's voices. And another reason for that, I think, is that we do a lot of music from various cultures around the world, and everyone can sing without accompaniment. Everyone, that's one thing that we all have in common around the world. And so then when we start to add other instruments in, as in many pieces we'll use percussion or piano or on this upcoming concert we'll have harp, it starts to then give an extra sense of where the music is coming from in the world. But we all have singing a cappella in common.
Now, for people who want to come to this concert, is there a charge?
We have a suggested donation, $10 to $20, more if you can, less if you can't. So we want everyone to come and experience the concert, even if $10 is too much.
And the concert happens twice, both times at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign, the corner of John and Fifth Street, Saturday night, December 5th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, December 6th in the afternoon at 4:30. How long is the concert?
I haven't timed it yet.
Not sure.
I'm imagining it's somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours.
Okay. And you've had other concerts at McKinley Church. How do you like the acoustics?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just a terrific place to sing in. Some of our CDs have tracks that have been recorded in McKinley Sanctuary.
A lot of hard surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
And that wonderful arched ceiling.
Yeah, I don't know how long the time to fade away is in there, but I suppose
I haven't ever timed it.
I suppose it's 2 or 3 seconds at least.
Mm-hmm.
May not be a Gothic cathedral,
no.
But it's a good space. Now, you mentioned a harp. Who will be playing?
Leela Ramagopal, who is often has been a collaborator with Amasong. She's a wonderful harpist. And she'll be working with us on two pieces. One, a traditional Irish song, Goa Molta Brija, which is an ancient Gaelic chant in praise of Bridget. And another piece, The Seal Lullaby.
Let's talk a little bit more about the piece we just heard that you composed.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the range of your compositions?
Well, as I said, I'm sort of a composer because it's fun. It's not necessarily something that I have spent a lot of time studying, and I certainly admire people who have really honed their craft in composition. So I'm exploring what works and what sounds interesting and sounds beautiful to me. I've arranged folk songs for Amasong. I've done some Scottish Gaelic and Irish Gaelic folk song arrangements. I've done a couple original compositions, and I'd say I like to play with harmonic colors and just sort of exciting rhythms, exciting sounds.
Now, I heard some very close harmonies, seconds and things in there. You like those tonal cluster sounds?
I do, yeah. In my undergraduate and graduate work in voice performance, I did a lot of exploration of 20th century contemporary music, George Crumb, Georgi Kurtag, and other sort of pushing the envelope composers, and I really enjoy that.
Have you composed for... This is a community choir, basically, although you do have auditions. It's not just anybody come. But have you composed for, like, high school voices, church choirs, other religious?
Yeah, in Ithaca, I wrote a couple small pieces for some choirs at the college chapel and things like that. So it's definitely an interest of mine in terms of the intersection of music and spirituality and being inspired to create new music out of that connection.
Let me reintroduce our guest here on Keeping the Faith this week. We're talking with Megan Johnson-Smith, who is the director of Amasong, whose concert is coming up December 5th and 6th. And we're talking about her music that she composes and that she directs and that she sings. I might say that this program, we needed to pre-record, so ordinarily this is a live program that people could call in and ask questions, and I regret to say we are unable to do that this week. We had to make some last-minute changes because a guest that was scheduled, we needed to make some changes, and so I'm very pleased that Megan at the last minute could do this, but the only time we could do this was to record it on the Friday before this is broadcast. So don't call in today, but if you'd like to contact Megan, I noticed that on the amasong.org website, there are ways you can email her. Just write in office@amasong, amasong.org, mm-hmm. and she'll get that email. So if you'd like to contact her, you certainly may do that. And if people might like to audition to sing in this wonderful women's choir, how do they do that?
Also on our website, amasong.org, there is a page where you can learn more about Amasong and fill out a very simple audition form, basically with your name and contact information and any other questions, and that will come to me as well, and I'll contact you to schedule an audition.
Now, I remember the first time I had to audition for a choir, and I think it was high school, and it was a cappella group, and there was one choir you could just walk in and try to sing, but this one you had to audition. And I know I was just scared to death, and I don't think I auditioned again until I was about 40, and I was then down in Raleigh in North Carolina and still finishing grad school, and I decided it would be good for my mental health to be singing something, so I joined the Oratorio Society, and I had to audition there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just as scared at 40 as I had been, I think, at 16. How can you reassure people who might want to audition but may not be a trained musician like
yourself?
Sure.
Well, Amasong has members of extremely wide ranges of abilities, people who've never sung in a choir before and, you know, some people who have music degrees and everywhere in between. And I try to make the audition as absolutely painless as possible. You can sing anything from Happy Birthday or I'm a Little Teapot to I don't know, anything more complicated that you would want to.
And, I think I sang Amazing Grace when I was
40. Yeah, that's a great choice too. So, you know, we just chat a little bit and we'll sing and
Try to determine a person's range?
Absolutely. That's one big part of the audition. The audition is mostly for me to learn about a person's voice and, you know, to see if their voice would be a good match for the chorus. You know, just Christina used to say, Christina Berger, Amasong's founder, if you can carry a tune in a bucket, that's what we're looking for. I'm also looking for, you know, enthusiasm and all of those kinds of things that make someone a great part of a choir.
Well, now let's push that a little bit. Let's do a worst case scenario. What's the worst thing that would happen to someone who came in and sang, I'm a Little Teapot, Short and Stout, and they really can't find the notes? How do you let them down easily?
Well, that is one of the big challenges as a choral director, is having to sort of make choices and make decisions like that. What I would say is, you know, I would encourage them in their enthusiasm for joining a choir. And if they weren't a good match for Amasong at that point in time, you know, if they weren't able to carry a tune in a bucket, as one might say, I would give them other, you know, suggestions for ways that they could continue to work on their singing and keep singing. Because I certainly, one of the things that I love about Amasong is it's really empowering for women just to be there and sing. And I want everyone to have that opportunity if they want it.
Now, it's hard for musicians, like any artist, to make a living. And my guess is, since this is a nonprofit organization, they're not paying you a huge salary. The other problem sometimes in community choirs is that the director sort of pushes people to pay them money to take voice lessons. Is that a temptation?
I am a voice teacher, and there are women in Amasong who take voice lessons with me, but I always am extremely clear when I let someone know that I teach voice lessons that it is not by any means expected or required to take lessons with me to be in Amasong, and I have many other colleagues in town that I will be happy to recommend.
Well, we've looked at both extremes. Tell me about the diversity of the group.
We have college students. I think we have some undergrads right now. All the way up to, we have a couple of members, well, at least one member in her 70s. And from all walks of life, physicians, artists, and I'm just trying to think
plenty
of all.
Plenty of teachers.
Plenty of teachers. We have a lot of librarians, a lot of graduate students. We had a competition at one point between the French department and librarians to see who could have more people in Amazon. We have women.
And in terms of sexual orientation, you have people who are gay and lesbian and straight and
absolutely
bi
and, right. We run the gamut along the whole spectrum of sexuality, and of course, it's never something that would come up. We would never ask you, you know, are you a lesbian in the choir? And it's just a place where women can come who, from all spectrums along the sexual orientation range, to just feel supported in your life choices.
Tell us a little bit about your history. How did you come to this place in your life? Where did you grow up?
I spent most of my growing up in central Michigan, in Mason, Michigan, a little town up there. And I guess was always involved in music. I started piano lessons when I was 5.
Your parents were musical?
They were musical and amateur musicians. Neither one of them was particularly trained, but they really encouraged me, and I'm so glad that they recognized that that was an interest of mine at a young age.
Did they also sing?
Yeah, my mom would be the director of children's choirs at churches and things like that, and also would sing in community choirs, things like that. So I had a model in her participating in music, and it was something that I always loved.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister who is also a musician. She is 5.5 years younger than me. She's currently teaching piano and voice lessons at a private international school in India.
Oh, wow. Where did you go to college?
At Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York. I did both my undergrad and graduate degrees
there. Oh, both were there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I studied music education and voice performance as a double major. I've always felt that educating and teaching was a really important part of music making for me, that I wanted not only to be performing but to be working with others.
And your own singing. Tell us about your voice.
I'm a soprano, and
what sort of soprano?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time figuring out my as they call it fach, the sort of pocket that you are put in. I might be a lyric soprano, I think. I just at this point, it's not my main career focus to be a performing singer, but I've been very lucky to do some performances with Bach, the Baroque artist of Champaign-Urbana.
As a soloist,
uh-huh. Yeah. I was one of the soloists in Alexander's Feast this past spring and some
so
of their other concerts.
So you've had to do some auditions yourself.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You've chosen to direct. What are the challenges of directing a community choir?
I would say, in specifically a community choir, one of the challenges is to keep the atmosphere and the music both fun and enjoyable for the singers, but also challenging. I think one reason that people like singing in Amazon is it's not only fun, it's not only a great community, but they have to work hard, and we sing challenging music. So finding that balance is, I think, one of my most important tasks.
As someone who has enjoyed singing in choirs for most of my life, just as an amateur,
mm-hmm.
For me that challenge that requires focus is a great sort of vacation for mm-hmm. the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a former pastor and director of a nonprofit agency, you know, you're worried about raising money, you're worrying about fixing the building, you're worrying mm-hmm. about people, you're worrying about staff issues. And to focus on a text, a musical text, mm-hmm. a score, and to have to force your whole body to do something about that, to get some kind of a decent sound out of
mm-hmm.
it, it's that concentration, that focus is relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd.
It is an interesting thing that, you know, people have used music for, well, we don't know how long as people have sung, I'm sure, as a way to focus and as a way to relax and as a way to celebrate and as a way to, you know, to meditate or whatever their purpose was.
What kind of religious training did you have growing up, or were you from a non-religious family?
I was raised in a sort of, I guess, mainstream but on the progressive end Christian family. And I grew up in the church, in Presbyterian and Lutheran and all kinds of different Protestant denominations.
Lutherans have the best music.
I don't know. But they do have some pretty excellent music, though. It's true. And that's... you know, that's something that I have continued in my adult life that I find really rewarding.
And have you had positions in church, directing church choirs?
Yeah, I was a choir director at a really wonderful liberal American Baptist church in Ithaca. And that was one place that I think a lot of my spiritual formation and my social, sort of social justice formation took place in that congregation.
And what appealed to you in terms of social justice in saying yes when Amazon said, be our director?
Well, you know, people ask me this question occasionally. What is it about working with Amazon as a specifically lesbian feminist organization that appeals to me? And I guess, you know, the aspect as a heterosexual woman being allowed to be a leader and a face in some way, or a voice, I guess, here on the radio for a group of lesbians, bisexual women, and straight women allies is just really empowering from a helping in the work for equality, in the work for finding a place where we all fit and where we can all understand each other.
In terms of your own sexual orientation, do you find yourself needing to say early on in conversations after people hear that you're the director of a lesbian feminist choir that you're straight?
No, I don't particularly find that to be a need. I mean, I'll let people assume whatever they want about me. And if they assume I am a lesbian, that's fine. And if they assume I'm not, that's fine too.
And if they make a pass at you?
I'll be flattered, I'm sure, but I am taken. I'm happily married.
It was interesting to me when Amazon first got started. I was pastor, one of the pastors at the time at McKinley Church, when the group formed there and asked if they could have their rehearsals there at McKinley and their first concerts. And I'm pleased that they still feel that's a good space to give concerts. Where do you rehearse now?
We actually do rehearse at McKinley in the sanctuary. We have
that's changed.
Yeah,
over the
we've
years.
Moved to some various places around town, just depending on what worked best at the time.
Sure.
But it's wonderful to have both the support of McKinley in our mission as a lesbian feminist organization and McKinley's more light stance. Right. But also, it's just great to sing where we perform.
And a more light Presbyterian church, that's a term that's I think only used in Presbyterian churches.
I think so.
Other denominations have open and accepting and things like that. But it's a congregation that has consciously chosen to announce that it's open and accepting of gays and lesbians, transgendered folks, bisexual folks. And I was pleased that McKinley Presbyterian Church had taken that stand before I was pastor even. That was one of the things that appealed to me about going there as pastor.
Yep.
The congregation was quite diverse, and that was wonderful. It was a good place for me to raise a family, but it was also a good place for people who were gay to be comfortable and lesbian.
Absolutely.
We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program today here on AM 580 WILL. A radio service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these programs. But I might say I'd like to thank Don Nolan, Professor Nolan from Parkland College, who for several weeks has filled in for me while my wife and I were traveling abroad. So he did a wonderful job. I was able to hear even while we were in Spain on the internet as the programs and occasionally when we were where I could get the internet, and he had some great interviews. And but I'm pleased to be back and talking today with Megan Johnson Smith. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith. This program, by the way, is pre-recorded, but will be broadcast this coming Sunday. So people who are hearing this on November 8th, next week, November 15, my guest will be a couple folks from Peaceful Tomorrows. That's an organization formed by the families of victims of 9/11 who believe that an appropriate response to that terrorist attack is not more violence, but peace. So we'll be talking on the phone with a couple family members of victims of 9/11 next week. Maynard Bridgeford, a professor from the University of Illinois, retired, will be our guest November 22nd on Keeping the Faith. He's written a very interesting book on Bob Zupke. Those people who go to football games at the University of Illinois realize that in Memorial Stadium, the field is called Zupke Field because for 29 years, he was the football coach here at Illinois. Remarkable tenure for a coach, even in those days early in the century. And Maynard Bridgeford was the university archivist, and he's very much interested in university history. And has written a fascinating book, just published. And there's some things about ethics and sports that it should be fun to talk to him about. He was on the ethics committee for archivists, so we'll talk a little bit about that on November 22nd as well. Harry Triandis, professor of psychology at the university, will be our guest November 29. His most recent book is about fooling ourselves, including in the areas not only of politics and other things, but in the area of religions. And Professor Triandis is quite critical of people who have religious practices and ideas in some ways and yet supportive in others. So that should be a good conversation too. So those are some of the folks coming up here in the weeks ahead. Oh, I might mention the first Sunday in December, Dan Guillory will be our guest from Millikan University. And he's a poet, and he's recently written a sequence of poems about the life of Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. So those are some of the guests coming up here on Keeping the Faith. But let's do get back to Megan Johnson Smith, and let's just go directly to another selection you have from the most recent CD. The Amazon has put out four different CDs over its history, but tell us what's the next one you've selected, Megan.
This is a piece that we're going to be performing on our upcoming December concert. It is Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind, composed by Emma Lou Deemer.
Thank you.
Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind by Emma Lou Diemer.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to listen to the recording. I know the first time I heard it, I mean, I conducted the piece, but when I heard the recording, I just got chills. But it is much more fun to hear in person.
And it should be very fitting by December 5th and 6th, right? Your concerts are Saturday, December 5th at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon, December 6th at 4:30 at McKinley Presbyterian Church, 809 South 5th in Champaign. More information if you need it. It's a suggested donation of from $10 to $20, less if you can't afford that and more if you can. Let's see. What should we talk about? Emma Lou Diemer. Goodness. Tell us about this piece. How did you select it?
Well, we did a concert several semesters ago on the theme of friendship. And I was drawn to this text, Thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. And though the waters warp, thy sting is not so sharp as friend remembered not. And this very famous text of Shakespeare's just speaks to, I think, something that most people can relate to in maybe having a friend turn on you. And what I love about the piece is that Emma Lou Diemer has used whispers, which is a sound that we don't hear very often in traditional choral performances. It's in the realm of extended technique, I would guess. And it's just a chilling piece. Exploring that theme of how the wind and the rain and the coldness of winter are so like being spurned.
Let's talk about being spurned, not only interpersonally in a relationship, the pain that comes when someone turns away from you, chooses someone else, leaves, but also the pain that comes from whole groups of people being spurned, being turned against, like gays and lesbians, of course, in a society here. I know in a local congregation, someone had a lesbian come and participate in their service, and it was open. She was openly gay, and a bunch of people left the congregation, you know, never came back just because this person had been there. Just horrible things happen.
There's a lot of pain that is related to the way that religious institutions specifically have dealt with gay and lesbian and transgender bisexual people. I personally can't understand it.
Yeah, when official votes come that sort of say, we've decided what God thinks of you and it's bad, boy. What a way to express a religious tradition. Well, I wish we had an opportunity for guests to call in and ask questions and make comments, but as I mentioned before, for scheduling reasons, we had to pre-record this program. But we are delighted to be talking with Megan Johnson-Smith, the director of Emma Song, A-M-A-S-O-N-G. Tell us how it began. You've read a little bit of the history and with Christina Berger, who helped start it.
Right. Emma Song started in 1990. It was founded by Christina Berger, who was at the time a graduate student or beginning her graduate studies at the university. Christina had, in addition to her musical career, spent some significant time doing lesbian rights activism. And here in Champaign, she wanted to create a group where lesbian women, feminist women, anyone who might identify with the word spelled W-O-M-Y-N, as we are familiar with, a place for them to come and sing and celebrate and be proud of their identities. And so she put up flyers and a few people came and it grew from there.
I remember going to the first concert and how nervous everyone was. Would anybody come? Would the audience be only other gay folks, lesbians? But it was a tremendous response and very encouraging.
Yeah. The documentary, The Emma Song Chorus Singing Out, made by Jay Rosenstein, who's a professor here at the U of I, if you're interested in Amasong's story, I highly recommend that if you haven't seen it.
Where can people find copies of that CD, or that DVD, rather?
Well, I think the libraries, the public libraries, probably have one. It might only be on VHS, but we are hoping to replenish our supply of DVDs if you would like to purchase one from us.
But right now you're out.
I think we might be down to just a couple.
Okay. And again, give the website for people.
It's www.amasong.org.
And information about the upcoming concerts and other concerts later this year. How many concerts do you have over the course of 12 months?
A lot. We do two major concerts, one in May and one in December. But we also have some other things. We recently had the privilege of singing on the Mills Breast Cancer Institute concert series in October. We'll be doing a concert next weekend in Decatur, Illinois, if you're listening from outside of Champaign-Urbana. Please join us. It's at 3 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Decatur. And that's on the 15th. We're also...
That's November 15th.
November 15th. Yes. We'll be singing at the Granny's Porch concert, which will be at the Virginia Theater celebrating music of the 30s. That's on Friday, November 20th at the Virginia Theater at, I think, 7:30. So I would guess we do probably six or seven concerts in a year, and that's pretty fun. We also have one really cool event coming up. Composer Pauline Oliveros is going to be in town for a few days and doing some workshops, and we'll be hosting a deep listening workshop at McKinley Presbyterian on the 14th. That's next Saturday, I guess, at 3 o'clock.
And I'll put in one more small advertisement for a concert this evening when this program is broadcast. The chorale that I sing with, that Julie Beiler is the director of, is has brought in Renee Clausen, who will be directing some of his own music that he composed this evening at Wesley United Church, a concert at 7 p.m. So people can, that's a free concert with donations accepted at Wesley United Methodist Church on the corner of Green and Goodwin. There's free parking in the basement of Cranert and on the streets on this Sunday evening. What do you think of Renee Clausen?
It's beautiful music. Heard a little bit of Kevin Kelly's interview with Julie Beiler and Renee Clausen yesterday, and that set me as a seal that he composed. I've sung several times, and it's one of the lovely things that I enjoy singing.
It is. Setting from the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. Quite lovely. Who are some of the other composers that you've been influenced by?
Wow.
Not necessarily contemporary?
Gosh.
Too many, right?
There are a lot of them. I would say the interesting choral composers out of the 20th century, there are probably too many to name, but I really enjoy as a solo singer the works of Samuel Barber, Benjamin Britten, George Crumb, let's see, Dominic Argento, lots of these people. And then going all the way back through, you know, Bach, of course, I think pretty much every musician has an affinity for Bach somewhere.
We're recording this on a Friday, and last night there was some wonderful piano Bach played by Vladimir Feltsman in a concert with the Pacifica String Quartet. And I learned just last night in the program notes that the Pacifica Quartet, which had been a quartet in residence here at the university, has just been named to replace the retiring Guarneri String Quartet Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And the Guarneri had been there 43 years, I think, or something amazing. Yeah. So it's quite an honor for them to be.
Yeah.
But the Bach that Feltsman played last night was just so moving, and it's it's wonderful to be in a university town where you have those kind of artists brought into places like Cranford, but also so many talented people here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, of course, from Ithaca, you had the same experience, but as you've auditioned people to sing in this choir, have you been pleased with the quality?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of talented people in Champaign-Urbana, and it's been wonderful to meet so many women who are interested in singing. And I think, you know, how many community groups, how many community choruses do we have in Champaign-Urbana? I'm not really sure, but there's a place for everyone to fit. And so if you like to sing, I encourage you get out there. And as Steve sings in the chorale, and I sing with Amasong and with Bach, and it's a great thing.
Now, do you actually sing with Amasong when you're conducting?
Actually, no, I don't.
You don't.
It's kind of a no-no for choral conductors to sing along, because then I lose track. If I'm singing one part, I can't really pay proper attention to the whole of the piece.
But then there have been all kinds of pianists who've, on recordings, you can hear humming along with themselves.
Oh, sure. Glenn Gould, yeah.
And I was thinking of Thelonious Monk as well, mm-hmm. in the jazz field.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be times you just can't help yourself.
It's true. There are times that I can't help myself, and I do sing along. Most of those times it's pretty forgiving on maybe a really invigorating song from, I don't know, somewhere in Africa or somewhere in the United States that I just can't help but sing along.
Now, Amasong is known for a repertoire that goes from folk music to traditional music from various ethnic cultures,
mm-hmm.
different nations. Do you consciously try to just cover as wide a spectrum as you can imagine?
Yes and no. I mean, I do try and use as much music as I can find as my source material. I think a singer in Amasong just told me yesterday that she did a count, and in 10 years of singing with Amasong, she's sung in 50 languages.
Wow.
So it's really fun to sing in other languages, I think, and a lot of people in Amasong agree with me in that. Others would say, these languages are hard, but we usually are proud of ourselves in the end. To find the most different ways of representing women's experiences, whether it's going back to Hildegard of Bingen or earlier women composers and anonymous composers that we know women sang. So finding the things that women have sung, the voices of women in terms of poetry, contemporary women composers, that's where I'm looking.
Now, you want to reflect women's experience in the music you choose, and part of that is women's pain.
Mm.
When you are composing yourself and looking for texts, do you have to balance trying to create something that'll be interesting and beautiful with something that's true, if it's reflecting violence against women, if it's a text reflecting women's pain caused by men, for example?
Sure. I think you absolutely do. Every composer has, you know, as every person does, an individual voice and an individual perspective. And as I've said, I'm a little bit of a dabbling composer, so I haven't really challenged myself to work with a text like that yet. But I think that that's really important, that we don't gloss over the parts of life, of all people's experience, but of women's experience in particular, of having been marginalized, of having this pain coming from just the experience of women's, I guess, oppression in the past and our continuing struggles. I think that there's a lot of excellent women's poetry written by women that would attest to that, and those are great source materials for composers.
When you talk about feminism today, many young women say, oh, I'm not a feminist. Mm. But then if you ask them, do you want to be treated equally? Do you feel you're You should be rewarded just like males are. They say, of course. How do you feel about that? You still have feminist in the name or the subtitle of Amazon?
I would probably fit in that generation of younger women. My mother was in that feminist generation. And I think that it's important for us to still, as women, identify with needing to continue to work towards equality. I don't think that it's over. I don't think that feminism is done. That's one of the reasons we leave lesbian feminist in our name, is to say, you know, one of my favorite definitions of feminism is the remarkable concept that women matter, you know. If you think women matter, then you're a feminist in some way.
Now, you're married. Your spouse, you've told us, is a graduate student in the same field. How will he feel when your career far surpasses his? You're making twice the money.
Well, that would be a wonderful thing. We're both, I think, both very talented people, and I'm sure he'd be just as proud of me as I would be of him if that happened to him.
And he'd help spend the money.
Sure.
On a more serious note, have there been frictions in your married life as you're expecting a baby? You have a directing job that's sort of part. Is it full time or part time?
It's part time.
Part time. Do you have other work for money at this point?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier I'm a voice teacher.
Oh, I forgot that. Yes.
And I would have to say that, you know, every couple has their frictions and their struggles, but I would have to applaud my husband on being extremely supportive and really helping me to find places that I can cut back as pregnancy has taken more of my energy and more of my thinking, that he's been very supportive in that and trying to help me work with that.
And do you think he'll be ready to take third place in the family when the baby comes?
He's really, really excited. Yeah, he's excited for the baby.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
We don't. We're going to be surprised.
Choosing to wait.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, we're talking with Megan Johnson-Smith, and I regret that we aren't able to have phone calls today like we usually do on this Keeping the Faith program on Sunday evenings. Because of scheduling issues, we needed to pre-record this. We're talking with Megan Johnson-Smith, the director of Amasong, AMASONG, whose big concert's coming up December 5th and 6th at McKinley Presbyterian Church, 809 South 5th in Champaign. If you have questions, go to amasong.org, including if you'd like to email the director. You can do that at office@amasong.org. Megan, as we conclude, we have we're down about our last two or three minutes here. What are you looking forward to next season, further down the road?
Well, in 2010-2011, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary, and we're still planning for that. We don't have everything figured out yet, but it's going to be a great time. Lots of favorite music on the program, a lot of new music. We already have confirmed with Christina Berger that she will be here to help us celebrate, and we'll be doing one of her pieces, and I'll be writing a new piece for the 20th as well. Who knows what else will happen in the meantime, but it should be a fun celebration. That'll be in May of 2011.
So is this a gift you're giving the choir, or did they commission you to do this?
They commissioned me, and that's one of Amasong's missions, is to support the creation of new works for women's chorus by women composers. And I have written plenty of other pieces for Amasong that have been gifts, but this is one that they decided they wanted to commission me, because I know the group, you know, as well as any director who works with a chorus, and I'm very thrilled to be doing that.
I think one of the most difficult things directors of choirs have to do is pick soloists. How do you do that?
We just had some solo auditions yesterday. It's tricky. I look for the voice that seems like it fits, but also the expression that comes from the individual person that really gets to the heart of whatever the song is that we're working on.
Well, we look forward to hearing Amasong perform Saturday, December 5th and Sunday, December 6th, 8 p.m. Saturday, 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. $10 to $20 donation requested if possible. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. I want to thank our guest today, Megan Johnson-Smith, who's the director of Amasong, as well as being a soloist herself and a composer. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, we'll be talking with folks from Peaceful Tomorrows. This will be November 15. A couple folks who are family members of victims of people who died in the terrorist attacks of 9/11. People, family members who are working for a peaceful response to that violence. Maynard Bridgeford will be our guest on Keeping the Faith November 22nd. He has a book out about Bob Zupke for 29 years, the U of I football coach. We'll be talking about sports and ethics and the history of that interesting man. November 29, Harry Triandis, professor of psychology, will be talking about his most recent book called Fooling Ourselves. He believes many religious people are fooling themselves about the reality of God, the existence of God, and has some very interesting critiques of religion, as well as some interesting supporting suggestions for how religion can be helpful to people psychologically. And December 6th, our guest will be Dan Guillory, professor from Millikan University in Decatur. He's a poet, and he has recently published a book of poems about the life and experiences of Abraham Lincoln on the celebration of his 200th birthday. Those are some of the programs coming up on Keeping the Faith. Again, I'm Steve Shoemaker, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
For many soldiers and Marines, war is not fundamentally about the mission or the enemy or even about patriotism. It's about the man to the left and to the right of you. I'm Tim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, Esprit de Corps is part three of Boots on the Ground, Stories from the War in Iraq. It's to the best of our knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening at 7.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: SuperValue, Champaign, SuperValue, Minneapolis, and Swires Land and Management Company, Danville. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of University of Illinois alumni Alice and Robert Campbell. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
Back when Cliff